don't say it's wrong, then they say it's right. Say we got a feel for each other, then our brother, no, we can't. Got to get the message, send it out, oh, Lord, and clear. None of us are free. None of us are free. Ray Charles and Eric Clapton, a piano man and a guitar man, teaming up with None of Us Are Free. It's the title track from their 2015 album. How about that? Well, this is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and much to talk about today, I hope. The program is strictly about this second round of Super Tuesday involving six states: Michigan, Missouri, Mississippi, Idaho, North Dakota, and Washington State. Well, of course, the assumption is that you are keeping pace with these developments, so I don't have to tell you what happened. And in any event, that is not what I like to do, to tell people what happened. I prefer to ask people what they think happened. That's far more interesting to me. What do you think happened here? Well, we can safely say that Biden trounced Sanders in this contest. And now we want to figure out why. What happened here? It's not that Sanders was supposed to win and Biden just upset the apple cart. This is how elections work. Things happen out of nowhere. Or did they happen out of nowhere? That's what we are going to be talking about today. From your perspective, how do we explain that? Well, not that we have to explain. You understand what I'm talking about. How do we tell anybody? What is the outcome supposed to mean? What is it telling us that there was such a dramatic reversal of fortune, and Biden, who did not have a prayer. He didn't have a prayer not too long ago, is literally in the catbird seat. He's got the mantle of leadership in his hands, and he is the guy that both sides have to respect. He's in the leadership position, and a very authoritative one at that. How do you explain that? Let's hear your views at 888-874-4888. What happens now? And what happens to the Sanders candidacy? Where does it go? Where do his votes go? What is the next step in this race? What do you expect would be? 888-874-4888. Now, we shouldn't take anything personally. It is what it is, as the saying goes. But what is it? That's a part of what we ought to be looking at. What is it that we're supposed to understand in the way things have developed? Mahat, you start us off today from New York.
Greetings to the beloved family. Thank you. First of all, I guess we should have seen this coming. I mean, Gary just played a piece from Jimmy Dore showing all the plagiarism. I call him another R.D., Con Daniels. This is neoliberalism coming down to you full force. I mean, the Democrats, they're not pursuing any hearings to stay on top of the situation with Trump and his insanity, especially around Corona. And now
you're way off topic already.
Now they're trying to shove Now they're trying to shove Joe Biden down our throats. I mean, he's the least qualified, the most, and he does seem to have dementia, not to mention being angry like Trump. He had an incident where he used profanity and threatened a guy to step out in the street.
Yes,
to fight.
But what does that have to do with the definitive outcome that we all know about, and that is he has crushed the candidacy of Bernie Sanders. Now, how do we deal with that?
We don't deal with it by saying
what a bad guy Biden is and how he's the wrong choice. He nonetheless has won. Now what do we
well,
do?
Well, he hasn't won. I mean, there are a number of states. I mean, New York hasn't had its primary, and that must be a huge number of delegates, similar to California. Although the Democrats are trying to say that he's already won, which is ridiculous, and even trying to say, well, let's not have the Sunday Q&A. It's just, it makes you just want to pull out your hair. It's the Democrats.
No, it doesn't make you want to pull out your hair because you, if you're a veteran of observing these contests, this is par for the course. The Democrats
will
continue to do whatever it is they want to continue to do. But I'm asking from your personal perspective, an analysis, what do you offer us in terms of a special insight about what might have happened and what happens now?
Well, to me, it says that the Democrats haven't learned their lesson and why Trump got in the first place. People are not looking for anything establishment or the same old, and Joe Biden is the same old,
okay,
writ large.
Well, you got us started today. Thank you for that. Ed from Los Angeles, how do you analyze the situation? What happened and what happens now?
Well, what happened was what was predicted to happen. Joe Biden, candidacy was protected when they went after Trump during the impeachment, and
Bingo, the media has helped. Salute you there, right there. You have earned a special salute. That's a very key point. Go ahead.
Yes. Biden was selected all along, but the phony impeachment against Trump was to protect the Joe Biden campaign, and then
yes,
the media helped Joe Biden by destroying Bernie Sanders. I don't know where most people get their news, but I have to observe all stations, MSNBC, Fox, and CNN, and they all destroyed Bernie Sanders. You had James Carville completely destroying Bernie Sanders and saying the party's in trouble unless they pick Biden. So if people are listening to this and then voting for Biden because they feel that, well, maybe Biden's that we should vote for him because he's the guy that can beat Trump. And the corporate state helped people decide who to vote for. And they've picked Biden. He was selected as Obama was selected. Biden is selected by the corporate state, and that runs the Democratic Party and runs the Republican Party. So there's no surprise here that Biden would trounce Bernie Sanders in all these other states because he was selected by the Democratic Party. He was selected by the corporate state. And he may lose against Trump.
I predict
he will.
Early on in the game, I told people, never mind what it is they're putting before your eyes and ears, the whole point to that impeachment process, the hearing, was Biden. I told them that. Never
exactly.
mind all of that, where they make you think this is about targeting Trump. It is not. It was about saving Joe Biden and, as I put it, pulling him through. There was
exactly.
no question about that. That was absolutely apparent. So now I ask you, Ed, what should happen now? What do you think will happen now?
I think Joe Biden, well, I don't know why they're having a debate on Sunday. I think that's redundant. He's debating Bernie Sanders on Sunday when we already know that he's the candidate that's being selected to run against Trump. My prediction is he will lose to Trump, but the Democratic Party really doesn't care about that, and people need to get it through their heads that this party is about protecting their own wealth. It's about protecting the tax cuts that Trump gave them and protecting their wealth. They really don't care about the people, and I think we need to get that through our head. These people, like I said, have lived better lives than we do, and they want to protect that. They don't want to shake the or rock the boat. They like their life. They like their lifestyle. They want to keep it. If you lose as a Democrat, you win because you still have the money. So that's the problem with our politics. If you lose, you win. So it doesn't matter.
You win?
That's right. If Biden loses, he still wins because he protects his wealth. He still protects his wealth, and so do all the others. So does Klobuchar, so does Buttigieg. They all protect their wealth, so they don't lose. That's the problem with our politics. If you lose, you win, because the corporations grease both sides.
All righty. Well, you made some solid points. I'm just pleased to know, for myself, that I called it right.
You did.
Long before, I certainly did. I said, don't worry about anything that we supposedly are, to see in this whole contraption that has been concocted here to entrap and to ensnare and ultimately to convict Trump. That's not it. The whole program is saving Biden and others attached to Biden and the Democratic Party establishment. That's really what that was about. Thanks so much for your call. I'm glad that you were able to share with us your point of view. All right, Tony from Orlando, you're on the air.
Hi, Therese. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
What happened, and
what should happen now?
Well, I'm pretty much, as far as what happened, I agree with the previous caller, as far as it all being, Joe Biden being pre-selected to be the Democrat nominee. Where I don't agree with the previous caller is where he thinks that Joe Biden is going to lose against Trump. I think that the Democrat machine, the corporate media, they're in phase two now. And phase two is... pretty much, this economy is going to go crashing down, and it's the only thing that Trump has had going for him these past few years. And once this economy goes into a recession, Joe Biden is going to come out being the president of the United States.
Well, how about another point of view to counter that, and that is, it appears that that puts Trump at a disadvantage, but in fact, he has many advantages in that position insofar as being able to cause catastrophe, economic catastrophe, and to use it as a cudgel, as a political weapon.
I'm not so sure. I mean, the problem with President Trump is that he's used the economy as a barometer for his success. Okay, and that's been his flaw. He should have never ever done that, because now that he has a recession, a looming recession on his hands, and this particular recession that we're looking at, it's not a financial recession. This is a natural disaster. This is pretty much going to be Trump's Katrina, is what we're looking at.
Yes, but okay. When you have the powerful media outlets, you know, at your beck and call, you can create an entirely different reality and blame it on the Democrats, as he has already begun to do.
And that is, people are seeing through that. And just as you just said it, you just noticed it. He's blaming the Democrats. He's blaming everybody in sight. The problem is, I believe that's going to backfire on him. That's the thing. It's so obvious what he's doing.
It doesn't show that way. It shows that quite the opposite, that Trump is trying his best, but forces are organized against him.
Yes, and that's what I mean by phase two. The forces, you see the forces organizing against him. They're already asking him, why hasn't he gotten a test for coronavirus? It doesn't get any worse than that. I mean, they're already saying he has the coronavirus, you see? I don't know if you saw that, but they're already telling him, hey, why aren't you getting tested? Just like your other idiot congressman, Matt Gaetz, that was running around like a fool with a gas mask, now he's self-quarantined. You see, it's turning, it's getting backfired on them. And that's why I say,
In these political times, you have to be prepared. Everything is actionable. Everything can be made to be used to your advantage. And it's going to get more and more ridiculous.
The Democrat Party is aware of that. I don't know if you remember the saying that Rahm Emanuel said, never let a good disaster go to waste, okay?
They know this
has the potential to destroy Trump's presidency. This is the only thing. I don't know if you heard of that guy, Bill Maher. He has an HBO show. And he said it years ago. He was calling for a recession like 3 years ago, saying that if you had a recession, then Trump would have nothing. He would have nothing, because all he's based his success on was the economy.
Well, you see, things have become very complicated since then. And there are so many different dimensions. You have Wall Street, the coronavirus, of course, we've been talking about. But you have the advent of presidential elections. You have the ripple effect on state and local governments, because it's not just about Trump.
I know that.
He has to carry all the people down the line in the party.
If you see what's going on in the country, they're already talking about possibly canceling the Q&A on Sunday, okay?
Yes.
Due to the coronavirus. They're already canceling Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders has already canceled rallies. Okay, they've already canceled rallies. They're setting it up to where Trump is going to be the only idiot in the room having a rally, putting people at risk of acquiring coronavirus. They're already setting it up like that. Okay, I'm telling you, we're in phase two of Operation Take Out Trump.
Well, the news is just breaking that Bernie Sanders is not quitting the race.
He's not quitting the race, but believe me, this time around, it's not going to be what we saw in the last election, where there were more tension between the Hillary people and the Bernie people. This time around, I believe you already saw last night Joe Biden extending an olive branch to the Bernie Sanders supporters. And that right there alone tells me that it's going to be a smoother transition and it's going to be Operation Take Out Trump. And it's going to be a big operation. It's not just, as you can see, it's not Joe Biden. It's the machine.
Well, we don't know. See, the thing is, it is evolving in so many ways, so many moving parts. We don't know what is likely to happen. The prediction was that if Sanders did not do well, he would quit. We just got word that he's not quitting, which means that there has to be a realignment among Democrats. And they will have to support Bernie. The question after that is, how are they going to be credible in backing Sanders when so much of the Democratic Party establishment has been casting blistering criticisms at him for being a socialist / communist? How's that going to work?
It's going to be rough. I mean, I don't know how that's going to, like you said, that's going to be something to see, because like you said, they came out really harsh. I mean, Chris Matthews lost his job over this. I mean,
Chris Matthews lost his job because he was a jerk. Sexist, misogynist jerk. That's why he lost his job.
And it came out because of the jerk that he was with Sanders. It all came out, you know, and it all came out. People got fed up with him. But the thing is you see how dedicated they were to destroying Sanders? But yes, I'm pretty sure they'll be happy with his voters.
Well, we'll see. Thanks so much for your input today. I always enjoy your calls. Thank you so much for calling in. Chris from Palm Beach, what have you to say? What happened and what happens now?
Yuturi, it's been a while. I hope everything is good.
Thank you. Hope all is well with you.
Yes, it is. You know, the weather here is great today, so I'm thankful for it. But I will say, I mean, it's hard to pick a place to start because there are quite a few things happening all at the same time. First, I would start with some of the voting irregularities, shall we say, in all of the states that have held primaries or caucuses. The exit polls and the computer counts, they're way off. So, and it's in every state so far that's been reported. So right then and there, there's a cause to realize that things are not what they say. Secondly, the polls close at 6:59, 7:59, whatever it is. The media is on TV at 8 o'clock. It's over. There's people still lined up. So their narrative, I don't believe. Secondly, I will say the Democratic Party's plan was twofold, which I always said from the beginning. I think I said this last time I spoke to you. Their main goal was to ensure Sanders was not the candidate. The second was to make sure that Donald Trump got a second term.
Okay, so why is that surprising? Isn't that normal and typical?
Correct, yeah, it's very normal and typical, and it's funny. Sanders endorsed, I think you would appreciate this, Jesse Jackson endorsed Bernie Sanders, right? Because Sanders endorsed him in 88. And I thought about you when I saw that moment because the Sanders, just like Jackson, folded his movement into the Democratic Party. Bernie did that in 16. I don't know if he's going to do that this year. I think if he tries it, he's going to find out that a lot of people just not going. I think Hillary was already far enough. But the Sanders and Jackson, what they both have in common is that their common problem was the Democratic Party.
Well, was it their common problem? The question I want to ask you, because you anticipated where I was going next, was, so Bernie Sanders received an endorsement from Jesse Jackson. The expectation was that Jackson was going to excite the black vote. Did he do that?
Not to the extent that which they thought. But this cycle more than others just proves to me what I've always felt, that black people in America, I'm talking about the entire diaspora, not just black Americans, but they are conservative in nature. I think the assumption that they're liberal or leftist is a bad analysis, because they have, as a group, consistently not demanded anything, but just chose to line up behind somebody they felt was less racist or less bad than the other.
Well, I think you're a little off the mark here, because the proper questions are not being asked. When you endorse somebody, we have a really limited definition of endorsement.
Oh, correct.
Endorsement isn't just to stand up in front of a microphone or whatever sound device that you have and say, I'm endorsing Joe Dokes. The evidence has to be there that you invest in the candidate. What was Jesse Jackson's investment in Bernie Sanders, other than to say, I, the well-known and venerable Jesse Jackson, endorse Bernie Sanders, and that is enough?
Yeah, that it wasn't enough. He, you know, like I said, he folded most of his followers into the Democratic Party. So, you know, they've been ingrained only in Democratic Party politics for the past 20 or 30 years now. So whatever followers Jesse has at this point, they would probably just as easy roll with Joe Biden as much as they would, you know, Hillary Clinton.
The point we are both subtly making is that the African-American community itself does not have the level of trust and respect for the endorser.
Not at all.
As both the endorser and the candidate seem to think. When you say, I endorse this person, it means you're walking with them. You're campaigning
yes.
with them.
You're
doing everything possible to indicate my reputation, such as it is. I'm putting it on the line for Bernie Sanders. It's not mm-hmm. just you get up and you make a statement and that's the end of that. Who needs
Correct.
That?
I will only cut Jackson a smidgen of a break in that his health is not in the condition to where he could probably be out there and be effective, right? But
okay, but then say
my
something.
Thing is, where are his apprentices?
Trust you have in the candidate.
Correct.
It's not about you endorsing somebody. It's about you communicating to whatever you have as a constituency that you're putting it on the line because this person is compatible with our sensibilities on the following counts, A, B, C, D, and E. And mm-hmm. because of this, I am urging you, I am involved in this, and I want you to walk with me in
Correct.
This campaign.
But you know what, though? Honestly, as I want to be critical of them doing it like that, the way they did, but it is what it is. What I find funny is that that's a typical Democratic Party tactic, right? To get some black celebrity or influencer and have them stand next to you, take some photos, make sure they got the hot sauce. And that seems to be the outreach of black folks from the Democratic Party. And it works. It works.
Get the hot sauce.
It's an indictment on my own people, but I got to keep it real. You know, the things that they fall for support is just like very laughable. And it's like, really? So in some ways, I'm pessimistic, but I'm also optimistic because maybe things have to get a tad bit worse for more people to understand that electoral politics is not the be-all and end-all of everything.
All righty. Well, thank you very much. Thanks for calling in and contributing. I'm glad that you called. Clara from Philadelphia, you're on the air.
Well, hello, Yatrice, and hello, everyone. A lot
Thank
of what
you.
I was
Hello.
Thinking has already been said. However, I do want to make a couple of comments about that. I wasn't surprised that Biden was able to carry the states that he did because the black vote really seems to be the aspect of it that carried him over. And the majority of the black people, from what I can see, who are going out and voting are the older group of people. And there, many of them are church-based, and the church has a lot of influence with that group. That's one thing. But in the meantime, I'm looking ahead at where all of this might be heading. And my focus today and my concern today is the cardoning off, or they call it something else, the handling of the Rochelle, New York problem, situation, where that community has been designated the epicenter of the virus in New York. And they're following, to some extent, the Chinese recipe for treating the virus or containing it. And people's rights are being severely limited. They can stay in, they must stay in the area, but they can walk around outside, which is more liberal than the Chinese version. I also hearken back to 2 years ago, and I think this might be the same or close to the community that refused to take the vaccines.
Well, and you're kind of off topic at the moment, so I want you
I want to say more than this is where this is all headed, in my opinion. That the virus situation, the elections, they're all covers for where we're going. And that's
just so you know, the virus is our topic, our only topic tomorrow. Just so you know.
Okay, but I want to include the elections too. Diversion.
Well, talk about that, the elections part today, because that's what we want to get to.
Okay.
What happened?
Okay.
And why do you think it happened?
Well, it was engineered, in my opinion, by the DNC and bringing the New York, was in Bloomberg, into it helped a lot. His money helped to pay off the, whoever needed to be paid off to support Biden. To divert attention and create another split in the party between Biden and Bernie, and it's all about eliminating Bernie from the mix, and they're successful because the money pays, and what's going to happen,
right.
I don't know. But,
well, we don't know either. That's why we're discussing it, and. You can always count on people having some very important insights. And that's why we throw it out there to see what we get back in terms of analysis from people. Thank you so much for your call today. Jay from New York, you're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon, Yatrice. I hope you and everyone is doing well. I think shows is the manipulation in the coercion between the Democratic Party and the media. I think that, unfortunately, there's also dishonesty within black leadership, because I don't understand why Jesse Jackson, if I'm not mistaken, is from South Carolina, couldn't endorse Bernie Sanders at the same time that the Democratic operative Clyburn endorsed Biden, which, you know, would it maybe seem to counterbalance what was being done by the DNC in regards to the manipulation of, you know, him endorsing Biden by Clyburn, understanding that it would have some type of influence. Then you had a situation after the endorsement of Clyburn and the wins that Biden was able to get that Tuesday, the media then manipulated to cast aside and uplift Sanders, who, in all honesty, was a dead horse in the race. So it just goes to show what type of manipulation is involved. And then you had the DNC having other members that will run and drop out and endorse Biden.
You're saying that Bernie Sanders was a dead horse in the race?
No, I'm saying Biden was a dead horse in the race.
Oh, Biden, yeah. Absolutely, he was a dead horse in the race. Yeah, until he was, black vote,
he didn't have no money.
Revived him.
Yeah, Biden, he didn't have no money. He wasn't really doing no advertising in no states or anything. So then just all of a sudden, out of the wind, you have him get this endorsement from Clyburn, and now he's the sparkling candidate. He's the chosen one, which in their eyes, he always was. But to be honest with you, Utrice, looking at the man, he's a disaster. And he's not going to win. There's no way that they could make him win. The only way that he could win, and I don't even think he still would win, is if we go into a serious recession and this coronavirus gets way, way out of hand. That's the only way maybe he could win. And that point in time, he still may not even win. And if he did become the president, like people are now putting out there, he may have dementia, depending on who the person is that he picks as his VP will be the next manipulation of the voting Democratic public, because that's going to be the key, who he picks as his nominee for vice president, that may change the dynamics. Because, you know, I have to laugh when I hear the guy call up that says Bernie is going to go independent now that he's not going to get the nominee. Let me tell you something. That's not going to happen. That to me, I just chuckle every time I hear him say it. But the thing is, I will say I'm now looking for who they're going to push as the VP, because I don't believe, I honestly don't believe that it is the key to Democrats winning is the black vote. I personally feel that it's more or less how are they able to do two things, get young people and the Hispanic vote to now back this character. Because, you know, unfortunately, I'm sorry to say it, black people are going to give these fools they vote no matter who the hell is at the top of the ticket, because we sick like that. So basically, it boils down to this now. The manipulation of the media, who they pick as the VP, and if Joe Biden can stay stable enough to stay on script to try and...
Yeah, but what happens to Sanders? What happens to Sanders and his base?
That right there depends on if they do one thing that people talk about and show him respect. If they're going to show him the necessary respect that he deserved, that Hillary Clinton didn't, then maybe his people that back him will play fair. But if they show him any form of disrespect, then I think it's going to be a problem. Now, I'll show you the first thing they can do to show him respect is to let him stay in the race as long as he wished to. Don't start talking about that party unity and all of that other nonsense, because that ain't really how it goes down in the minds, unfortunately, of the Bernie supporters. So I think they just need to play, as I always say, sometimes you got to play nice. And I think
they've already shown him disrespect. Many of the other Democratic candidates just systematically attacked him all throughout the race.
Right.
So are they going to suddenly decide that no more of that? We are going to go with the unity appeal. Let us all unite because the number one issue is defeating Trump. How genuine is that going to be to people's ears?
It's gonna have to be genuine, and the way that it becomes genuine is by showing your actions. If they don't show their actions in the nature in which they must, then there's going to be issues and there's going to be problems. I mean, that's the reality, Utrice. The reality is that you're dealing with individuals who manipulate society and have helpers in the media and other forces at play. I mean, you know, if it was really honest, Cowboy could have, gave Biden his support way before he did it. And then the other people could have stayed in the race for that day instead of dropping out. I mean, you know, it's just the way that they manipulate things. It's the way that they play games with people's emotions and reactions and responses. And it's unfortunately, a lot of the public isn't intelligent enough to see what's going on.
The public isn't intelligent enough. The issue is access to meaningful instruments of change. Is the public serious about organizing alternative systems and creating them? Ahead of time, rather than wait until the moment is upon us, and then we try to figure out quick, what are we supposed to do? That's not the way you plan. We have had ample warning. We have had ample examples of what happens when you plan now for now, but people will not do it. And so we constantly repeat this sad story of and act as if we were caught off guard. You can't pull that one on me. We have had more than enough time to put systems in order, a system in order that is reasonably reliable, that reasonably could predict success, but we're not doing it. Thanks a lot, Jay, for calling in today. Ed from Queens, how are your thumbs?
Hello, still hanging tough, you tree. Still hanging tough. How are you?
Hanging by your thumbs.
Hanging tough. You get some strong.
So what happened here? And what happens now, in your view?
Well, a couple of things. Number one, I really think that African Americans need to take a look at their political positions in this quote unquote system. For better or worse, it's all we have, and as a people, I believe we've demonstrated that we'll take anything, because we've backed a man who has done nothing, who has offered nothing, who has owned the only argument that the party and this man have made is that we got to beat Trump, and that for me that's not enough as far as having a mature understanding of politics and the exchange of power that it should be, number one. Number two, what's going to happen now? Now we're in for the carnival. I mean, they've already set up Sanders for failure. I mean, I don't know how a man who was a dark horse in the beginning can overnight become a superstar and everyone bowing at his feet. But I think you had it pegged from the beginning with the impeachment scandal or circus that it was to bring this man to the fruition to being the Democratic candidate for president. So the show is going to continue. I don't believe Bernie has the moxie or the wherewithal to actually go independent. I believe a lot of his voters are going to become disenfranchised. And as I said before, I agree with E from Edgewater. I think this whole thing is a circus to put this clown back for another 4 years because he maintains the status quo, and he can be the boogeyman for everything. They're already setting him up as the boogeyman for the coronavirus, saying that he doesn't really pay any attention to it, and putting him out as a monster when, not for nothing, I kind of agree with him. I mean, you look at influenza, you look at other diseases, other crises around the world and around the globe, more people have died. I mean, I'm not saying that we should discount any death, but I'm saying that to have an advanced reaction to this, influenza kills over 28,000 Americans every year. I mean, just a standard cold virus, the rhinovirus. So with that being said, I mean, the only thing me and a friend were talking the other night, and the only thing that he put out, which was kind of funny, but it may not be a stretch in this circus, Biden's vice presidential candidate, maybe Michelle Obama, trying to ride the Obama flame all the way into the White House. So that's the point. I mean, I don't have any idea if it's valid. I haven't heard any murmurings of her in the works, nor her husband. He's had a plug in his mouth. But I think that plug is going to come out soon, and we'll be surprised at what we see.
He
got a plug in his mouth, but it's going to come out. And I don't know if his wife is going to be on the tail end of that. But it is a possibility. And that would consolidate the Biden push and another Obama-Biden ticket.
Hillary Clinton has been lurking around. She hasn't given up her intention to insert herself into the political realm.
I don't think she's too much of a poison pill. I mean, she's just my friend also brought her name into the mix, but I don't agree with him. I think she's too much of a poison pill. I mean, she's got too much of a visceral reaction for or against, and she's too polarizing. But Michelle,
and what qualifications does Michelle Obama have except that she was married to the president? Is that enough to qualify a person to be a vice president of this country?
It's called mass appeal. It's called mass appeal, my friend. It's called mass appeal.
Mass appeal. This is why so many people have lost respect for what used to be venerated offices and venerated authority. Because it's like a Hollywood game.
Yep.
If you can get yourself in front of the cameras and on the front covers of magazines and whatnot, that proves that you're okay. You're perfect to run a country. Nobody on the planet thinks that is a good enough qualification.
But it sells. It flies. And unfortunately, in this pre-pubescent political atmosphere, the way people look at things, that dog can hunt. Like my man used to say, that dog could definitely hunt.
Well, we'll see. Thanks for calling in and contributing today. David from Brooklyn, you're on the air. And
good afternoon, Beatrice.
Hello.
I'm going to jump into this. And the way I see it, whoever it is that gets to the nomination and get into the battle for the presidency, whether it's Trump and Biden, the people lose. The people lose because this is a uniparty with two divisions, and the ruling class definitely don't want one thing that we know of, and that is Bernie Sanders. So they're doing what is necessary to get him out of the way. Now, in terms of how they've gotten a significant number of African Americans to support Biden, in spite of his despicable record, in terms of the benefits for the people. It's a good example of how the ruling class being in control of all instruments of media and is able to train the people to go along with a totally corrupt one-party system that we have. So it's not surprising that people will vote for a person like Biden, who is absolutely an enemy of progressive things, and go along with that. And it shows that people are well-trained to go against their own interests. So I think that is what happened in getting rid of Bernie Sanders, essentially. And even with black people who saw those things that Bernie Sanders presented that would be beneficial to them, they went and, voted for Biden, who was against all those things. So the people are well-trained. The idea is to keep people ignorant. That's number one. And you do whatever you can, whether it's the schools, the media, to do that. And that is what has been accomplished by those who rule. And we also have to remember, I want to emphasize this, that whether it's the Republican division or the Democrat division of the one party that runs the country, they have the same mission. I don't know why people don't get it. The mission is the same: to enrich the ruling class and use the rest of the people, and even as it means half the people in the country are poor or near poor. So all this circus, as some people call it, it goes on. It benefits the ruling class, and we have to remember that those that rule with this one party has the same mission. I don't know how much it takes to get into people's mind that the mission is not to serve the interests of the people who live here. So we got to keep that in mind and do something about it. Bernie, I guess they'll do everything they can to prevent him from getting into a third party. I don't know if he got the guts to do that, but if he does that, I guess that'll be a sure win for Trump. But the point is, I don't have much stomach for listening to all this stuff about these phony elections of people who don't have the interests of the public at large.
Thank you. We have to leave it there because we've come to the end of our program and we're out of time. But be assured this conversation will continue. I thank you so much for today, offering freely, as you usually do, your ideas, your pristine ideas. I thank you for that, and for feeling very confident that whether you take this position or that, it's not the issue here on this program. It is about whether we can really deal with the substance of what you're offering. And the evidence says that we are doing a good job of trying to understand your point of view. Now tomorrow, and this is one of the things you're going to notice that I'll be stressing more and more, is you have homework to do. So your homework assignment is to read something to inform yourself about the coronavirus that in turn will inform your questions tomorrow. Okay? That's your homework assignment. Get it done. We'll see each other tomorrow. Thank you so much for calling in and contributing today. Bye-bye.
Welcome to Politics Done Right. I am your host, Egberto Williams. This is the progressive program that will take the mystery out of politics. This is the program that will encourage you to make sure government becomes we the people. Whether you are liberal, conservative, or otherwise, you get to air your point of view.
Right here, every Monday on the Progressive Radio Network.
Economic, political, and military decisions in Washington, D.C. impact the entire United States and world. And yet corporate media offers few facts, history, or people's voices about these important issues impacting our lives. I'm Esther Ivarim, inviting you to check out On the Ground, Voices of Resistance from the Nation's Capital on the Progressive Radio Network, Mondays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. We cover social justice activists in the streets and in the suites. We cover those who come to D.C. from across the nation or from across the world to speak truth to power. Whether it's the war machine, the movement for black lives, healthcare, education, the economy, voting, corporate power, immigration, criminal justice, or environmental justice. Check out On the Ground, Voices of Resistance from the Nation's Capital, Monday, 6 p.m., here on the Progressive Radio Network.
It's not liberal, it's not conservative, it's progressive, the truth that empowers.